RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, Indonesian wonder, and we'll continue our segment with miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo appreciated Arhama Cooperative for assisting people's economy. UN asked to take stand for the Rohingya's human tragedy in Rakhine. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo appreciated Arhama Cooperative in Pasir Halan Village, Sukaraja Sub-District, Sukabumi Regency, West Java. Arhama Cooperative is a people-owned enterprise engaged in the field of food. Arhama Cooperative manages people finance while runs the rice mill business. President Joko Widodo said to the press the assistance of Arhama Cooperative is a good example of farmers' cooperative that he has been expecting. In running his business, Arhama applies rice processing in a moderate way. The president feels that the modern processing way is very interesting and it can boost economy by involving farmers and young people.
Dalam skala yang besar, ada economic scale.
For economic scale, I really appreciated how this enterprise runs its business with moderate processing, interest the package, and directly distributed to the retail. The enterprise also involves farmers in big scale, land up to 1,000 hectares. Not only the farmers, but also the enterprise involves young people to make application for production by using drone for mapping the land and using internet to market the product. Besides, as the people-owned enterprise, Arhama Cooperative also provide collecting savings and loans. In addition, Arhama collects data as well as guidance for farmers. The guidance will be given starting from farming until harvesting. Chairman of the Nahdlatul Ulama Executive Board, Saiful Yusuf, called the United Nations UN to address, to intervene and to stop the Rohingya humanitarian tragedy in Rakhine, Myanmar. He affirmed in Surabaya, Java on Friday that Myanmar government's military action that violated human rights is called as mass murder, so it cannot be tolerated. Moreover, Saiful Yusuf views that as the country with the world's largest Muslim population, Indonesia must also take part to save ethnic Rohingya. Previously, the executive board of Nahdlatul Ulama along with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and a number of mass organizations formed the Humanitarian Alliance of Indonesia to stop the humanitarian tragedy in Myanmar. Meanwhile, member of the House of Representatives DPR, Luki Hakim, strongly condemns what the Muslim and Rohingya are facing in Myanmar. He denounces the action of Myanmar's military operation against Rohingya Muslims as well as the omission by the Myanmar government. Children, women, and the elderly suffer from the actions of Myanmar's military. Luki Hakim, in a written statement, said on Saturday that as a member of the House, he also asked the Indonesian government to protest violently as a form of empathy with what happened in Myanmar as one of ASEAN member countries. He appealed President Joko Widodo to invite the ambassador of Myanmar to express his concern as well as protest in order to avoid cruelty and humanitarian tragedy. It has been known that the violence has caused about 27,400 Rohingya Muslims to have crossed into Bangladesh from Myanmar since Friday. This news is coming to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian economy and trade diplomacy to European Union countries. EU needs full support from the central government in Jakarta. Indonesian ambassador to Federal Republic of Germany, Paul Sibowo, says that diplomatic activities in the European Union are quite complicated because they involve many parties, not only member countries but also European-based parliament in Brussels. Thus, Ambassador Fossey said that full support from Jakarta is needed. Without it, diplomacy results will not be maximized. After fulfilling Idul Adha prayer at Indonesian Embassy in Berlin on Friday, he affirmed that CPO products from Indonesia are hampered to enter European Union countries. Without the support from Jakarta, Indonesian flagship export community will remain inconsistent in Europe. He further said that in addition to the CPO, the European Union also hinders other goods from Indonesia in effort to protect the market in this area. European Union members have a strong lobby, so they support each other to protect the market in their respective country. To achieve the target of 1 million tourists coming to East Java Province, state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura I is planning to make an improvement at Juanda International Airport. Director of PT Angkasa Pura I Commercial Development, M.S. Rory, said that the company has finished the master plan for Juanda Airport expansion. The supporting facilities have also been prepared. Everything is done to improve the experience of tourists coming to East Java, and the target number is 1 million tourists. As Rory also said that the company is currently applying for the airport city permit. Once the building construction permit is issued, the next step will be land acquisition. PT Angkasa Pura I has also increased the traffic movement from 25 to 27 per hour. As per Idul Adha holiday, as Rory predicted that the increase in the number of passengers would be around 12-15% and 5% increase on airplanes. Taipei Economic and Trade Office representative in Indonesia, John Chan, noted after the Taiwan Night that the Indonesian-Taiwan Education Cooperation has increased Indonesian student capacities and expected to grow in vocational education. The event themed New Taiwan Generation, New Southbound Vision was held on Wednesday night. Chan believes that capacity building is achieved as while participating in the educational program in Taiwan. Indonesian students not only gain knowledge in academic classes but also get internships in several companies and factories and engage in the growing business activities on Formosa Island. Currently, the number of Indonesian students studying in Taiwan reaches 4,394, comprising 2,745 taking up undergraduate master's and doctoral degree courses, 227 exchange students and 1,442 students studying Mandarin. Indonesia ranks third among countries sending students to study in Taiwan after Malaysia and Japan. The last item, the Indonesian Consulate General in Sydney, Australia supports and participates in teaching Indonesian for the students of Tumbarumba High School located approximately 500 kilometers from Sydney City. The Consul of Information Social and Cultural, Hermanus Dimara, in a statement has expressed recently his appreciation for the high interest of the high school student to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Since February 2017, 26 students of 7th grade at the state school have studied Bahasa Indonesia as compulsory subject through distance learning by the New South Wales Language School. Meanwhile, a staff member of the Consulate General in Sydney, Chont Hajar, who also learned Bahasa Indonesia as a second language, also delivered some inspirational messages to the student to continue pursue Indonesian. The Indonesian Consulate in Sydney actively supports the promotion of Indonesian language in its working area, which includes New South Wales, Queensland, and South Australia. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various important events occurring this week are featured in editorials of some of the leading media published in Jakarta and are summarized in the press review. Let's start from Media Indonesia. In its editorial on Wednesday, 30 August, the paper writes, "Sovereignty in the mineral and mining sector." Freeport is a lesson of sovereignty. The lesson was also very expensive due to long ignorance of the 1945 Constitution. As a result, for 50 years, the nation has only become a spectator in the massive siphoning of natural resources. Through a contract of work established in 1967, the mandate of social justice has been excluded. Indonesia, as the owner of natural resources, which also must bear the environmental impact, is only entitled to 2.5% income from royalty and 35% of taxes. Therefore, an agreement that the government reached with PT Freeport on Tuesday, 29 August, is an important step. The agreement becomes a first and bold step in upholding sovereignty in this case. The agreement that took place at the office of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources was attended by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, AMR Ignatius Jonan, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, and CEO of Freeport, McMoran Cooper and Gold Inc., Richard Atkinson. The most important point as the initial step of sovereignty is the divestment of PT Freeport's share by 51%. So far, the government shares are only 9.36%. The second point is Freeport to build a smelter up to 5 years from a special mining permit or EUPK. Then on the third point, Freeport agreed to keep the amount of state revenue with the fulfillment of the 3 points. The fourth agreement was reached as regulated in the Special Mining Permit or EUPK. Freeport will get a maximum extension of operation of 2 × 10 years until 2041. The success of the agreement was also shown by the government should not be afraid to deal with any party, even superpowers. The persistence of President Joko Widodo's administration over the past few years has been able to dampen Freeport's threat that previously said would use the arbitration path. However, according to Media Indonesia, the agreement with Freeport this time has not been fully sovereign for this nation. Various loopholes can be opened in the formulation of the next policy. Not only that, the concern of many parties that the change of Freeport's contract can be a dominance by the government on the people itself cannot be ignored. Therefore, this type of change must be guarded by all segments of society. The whole range of government concerned must also be able to prove that the change of the system of cooperation with Freeport is entirely for benefit of the nation rather than the interest of a few. Next is Republican newspaper, which in its editorial on Thursday, 31st August, writes Rohingya Muslim rights. The military operation held by the Myanmar government in the northern region of Rakhine State has a long tail. Initially, the military operation was to crush the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army or ARSA armed group. On Friday, 25th August, ARSA attacked a number of police posts in the border area. As a result, dozens of security personnel were killed. However, the ARSA militaria crackdown was widening, not only targeting them but also Rohingya ethnic civilians. The military staged a massive crackdown that was indiscriminate, focused on the siege of militants in the 3 cities, namely Mong Dao Town, Butidong, and Ratedong. This area is inhabited 800,000 people. The military operation resulted in 87,000 Rohingyas fleeing into the border region of Bangladesh. The cleaning operation was not selective. Civilians who were not involved in police raids were subjected to Myanmar military violence. Although discrimination is clear before the eyes, the persecution of the Rohingyas is also not stopped. There is a conflict going on. In fact, within the Myanmar government, there is now Aung San Suu Kyi, a Myanmar democracy leader who is also a Nobel Peace Prize winner. However, Suu Kyi's presence in the government seems of no avail. Initiatives for all those involved in the conflict to be reconciled are called by the Indonesian government. Through the Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi, the Indonesian government expects the Burmese military to refrain from acts that lead to violence. The government of Myanmar is reminded of the importance of law enforcement and human rights in restoring the security situation in the Rakhine. That was Press Review.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to our daily program, Today in History, over RRI Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, begin with an event which occurred on September 2nd, 1945, when formation of Kedua's Cabinet of Republic of Indonesia was established. September 2nd, 1945 is an important day for the Indonesian government, because at the day President Sukarno, after being elected as the first President of Republic of Indonesia, immediately established the first Cabinet of Republic of Indonesia. These cabinet ministers were accountable to the President, or often referred to as a presidential cabinet. This cabinet consisted of 12 ministers of department leaders and 4 state ministers. At the same time, the President appointed the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, and the spokesperson of the state. In addition, the President also appointed governors for 8 provinces, namely Sumatra, West Java, Central Java, East Java, Nusa Tenggara, Maluku, Sulawesi, and Kalimantan provinces, and 2 special areas, Yogyakarta and Surakarta. The World War II was a global war that lasted from 1939 to 1945. Although relatively complex began early, it involved the vast majority of the world countries, including all of the great powers, eventually forming 2 opposing military alliances, the Allies and the Axis. It was the most widespread war in history and directly impacted more than 100 million people from over 30 countries. In a state of total war, the major participants, through their entire economy, industrial and scientific capabilities behind the world effort, raising the distinction between civilian and military resources. The war in Europe concluded with the invasion of Germany by Western Allies and the Soviet Union, culminating in the capture of Berlin by Soviet troops, the suicide of Adolf Hitler, and the subsequent German unconditional surrender on 8 May 1945. Following the Potsdam Declaration by the Allies on 26 July 1945 and the refusal of Japan to surrender under its terms, the United States dropped atomic bombs on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on 6 of August and 9 August respectively. With an invasion of the Japanese archipelago imminent, the possibility of additional atomic bombs and the Soviet invasion of Manchuria, Japan formally surrendered on 2nd September 1945. Thus, the war in Asia ended, cementing the total victory of the Allies. And the last event is in 1945, when Vietnam announced its independence. Vietnam in the mid-19th century was under French rule, but in 1940, in the Second World War, after the French defeat from Germany, the Emperor of Japan used his French weakening opportunity by controlling Vietnam. Vietnam was under Japanese rule until the Second World War ended with the defeat of Japan. At the time, Ho Chi Minh led Indochina Resistance Organization to control of Vietnam. And on September 2, 1945, Ho Chi Minh announces Vietnam's independence as Vietnam's Democratic Republic based in Hanoi. A few months later, Ho Chi Minh was appointed president. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The 16th Economic Policy Package was launched by the government of President Joko Widodo last Thursday, 31st August. The package contains efforts to accelerate the issuance of business licensing from the central of the regional level. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmina Sution announced the 16th Economic Policy Package during the SAT Securitization launching ceremony at the Indonesia Stock Exchange Building, Jakarta, Thursday, 31st August 2017. According to Darmina Sution, this policy aims to solve the obstacles in the implementation process and utilize information technology through the application of an integrated licensing system or single submission. The policy package is in the form of a presidential regulation with realization in two stages. The first is the establishment of task forces for escort and settlement of business licensing constraints in the implementation or the end-to-end. The task force consists of national and ministry institution, province and district city levels. In the implementation of its duties, the National Task Force established a clinic for the settlement of obstacles, among others spatial and forestry, land and labor clinics. The second stage is the reform of the licensing regulation. The ministers or heads of institutions, governors and regions or mayors shall evaluate all legal basis for the implementation of the current business licensing process, including for micro, small and medium enterprises. Based on these evaluation results, each of them will simplify licensing arrangement by issuing substitute regulation, including local regulations. The regulation shall clearly state the licensing service standard in the one-stop service, which includes eligible business actors for licensing terms, producers, and time of settlement. Implementation of all licenses and the fulfillment of the requirements of business that are the authority of ministers or heads of institutions, governors and regions or mayors shall be conducted through a single submission licensing system. All licenses and fulfillment of these business requirements must be harmonized and standardized according to national and international standards. The system performs single and synchronous processing of data and informing processing, as well as the process of coordination, management, and validation of licensing information system electronically between ministers or agencies and local governments in order to obtain legality of access related to licensing. This system will be integrated with various service systems related to the single submission. The single submission trial is targeted on January 1, 2018, and its implementation is gradually started after the trial is successfully implemented at no later than March 2018. All single submission and PTSP processes are performed in one building. That was Focus Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hear news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo appreciated Arhama Cooperative in Pasir Halan Village, Sukaraja Sub-District, Sukabumi Regency, West Java. Arhama Cooperative's people-owned enterprise engaging in the field of food. Chairman of the Nahdlatul Ulama Executive Board, Saiful Yusuf, called on the United Nations to address, to intervene, and to stop the Rohingya humanitarian tragedy in Rakhine, Myanmar. Meanwhile, member of the House of Representatives, DPR, Luki Hakim, strongly condemns what the Muslim and Rohingyas are facing in Myanmar. He denounces the actions of Myanmar's military operation against Rohingya Muslims, as well as the omission by the Myanmar government. Indonesian economy and trade diplomacy to European Union countries needs full support from the central government in Jakarta. Indonesian ambassador to the Federal Republic of Germany, Paul Sibowo, says that diplomatic activities in the European Union are quite complicated because they involve many parties, not only the member countries, but also European Union-based parliament in Brussels. To achieve the target of 1 million tourists coming to East Java province, state owned airport operator Perti Angkasa Pura Wand is planning to make an improvement at Juanda International Airport. Taipei Economic and Trade Office representative in Indonesia, John Chan, noted after Taiwan Night that the Indonesian-Taiwan Education Cooperation has increased Indonesian student capacity and is expected to grow in vocational education. The Indonesian Consulate General in Sydney, Australia supports and participates in teaching Indonesian for the students of Tumbarumba High School, located approximately 500 kilometers from Sydney City. The Council of Information Social and Cultural, Hermanus Dimara, in a statement has expressed recently his appreciation for the high interest of the high school student to learn Bahasa Indonesia. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Related to Idul Adha celebration in Indonesia, in today's edition, we will introduce you to a tradition, namely Mantan Sapi in Pasuruan, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Indonesia is rich of cultures which are unique and interesting. One of them is Mantan Sapi or Cow's Bride tradition from Watestani village, Grati sub-district, Pasuruan Regency, East Java province towards Idul Adha. The event is to honor sacrificial animals held by local people. In the tradition, cows are treated like a bride. The event has been held from generation to generation. Although the event had abolished since long time, it has begun to be held again since 2013. Listener, before the cows are given ornaments, they are taken a bath with water which has been given flowers. Animals to be sacrificed must clean and holy. Then, those cows are given a flower necklace in 7 colors in order to be more beautiful like a bride. Then, the cows' bodies are covered by prayer rugs and also white clothes. All ornaments are as markers of chastity of people who give sacrificial animals. After the procession has finished, the cows are paraded by hundreds of people, either kids or adults, to the mosque to be given to the committee of sacrifice. At that time, women also enliven by carrying household appliances such as knives and seasoning. Listener, Watestani villagers who give cows as sacrificial animals also provide rice, fruits, seasonings until fireworks. It aims that the receiver of sacrificial animals does not only receive meat but also rice and also complimentary thing to cook the meat. Listener, Mantan Sapi tradition is held in the evening towards the night of the last day before Idul Adha festivity. The tradition has a meaning of Syiar of Islamic religion and preserved local culture. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hey, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Listener, Indonesia has lots of languages, tribes, customs, tradition, natural and culinary tourism destinations. West Sumatra, one of the regions in Indonesia, has beautiful scenery and various culture. Every regency in West Sumatra is very dense with its own culture and tradition. For example, West Pasaman Regency has gold yarn embroidery. Miscellany for today's edition will inform me about gold yarn embroidery. Listener, West Pasaman is known as its beautiful handicrafts that hang from generation to generation and have their own market in West Sumatra, especially in embroidery. The embroidery or making embroidery is the way to give or add effect on the finished sewing. Initially, the fabric looks very simple, but it will be more beautiful after being given embroidery on several spots, such as for bed linen, tablecloth, wall decoration, and many more. Besides using hand, the embroidery can be done by sewing machine or computer embroidery machine. Usually, the kinds of yarn used to make embroidery are the one like wool, linen, silk, cotton, or rayon, even gold yarn. The gold yarn embroidery is well known for its various motifs that have philosophy. These motifs usually come from natural or geometrical motifs such as lines or circles that have specific meaning for the people. Due to its beautifulness, the West Pasaman government in West Sumatra eagerly makes gold yarn embroidery from air bangis as the West Pasaman's icon. Listener, chairman of Air Bangis Gold Yarn Embroidery Community, Feli, said that the embroideries in Air Bangis, Sungai Beremas district are the descendant of former embroideries. The gold yarn embroidery of Air Bangis is admitted for its beauty and it is quite expensive. Take for example, a pillowcase costs 1 million rupiah, because it is handmade and made of embroidery's creativity. Veli reminds that before buying, the buyer should order first because the embroidery takes longer time. It can be more than 1 month process. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today's edition with the topic The Gold Yarn Embroidery of Air Bangis Becomes the West Pasaman's Icon. We will see you again in another interesting topic. Bye!
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Very Good Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Alika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Sore Band. To initiate our segment, Music Corner, for today, let's listen to a song entitled Cermin Tuhan. Happy listening! Listener, that was the first song entitled Cermin, sung by Soreben. Soreben was established by three friends, namely Firza Paloh, Mondo Gascaro, and Awan Garnida in 2000 year. A year later, Awan invited his two friends, namely Reza Dwi Putranto and Bembi Gusti Pramudia, to join in the band. This band is quite unique because there is no special personnel as vocalist of the band. All personnel always alternate to be vocalist. Besides, 4 out of 5 of the personnel play instruments with left hand. Before releasing an album, Soreben has launched some mini albums. The name of the band is more well known by indie music lovers when singing two songs for a compilation album of indie music entitled Jakarta Sekarang in 2004. In the middle of 2005, Soreben released their first album entitled Centralismo, which received compliments from various communities. One of them was Time Asia magazine as one of the best albums in Asia. Although their album was successful, Soreben is not in a hurry to make the next album. The second album of Soreben was released in 2008, entitled Ports of Lima. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Mata Berdebu.
Thank you.
are still tuning in on Voice of Indonesia in the Music Corner segment. Sora Band's works are mentioned as combination of various kinds of genre. It happened because every personnel is free to develop their musicality, which based on their inspiration and experiences. Generally, indie music lovers mentioned songs of Sora Band reconcile the heart and mind. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to songs entitled Musim Hujan and Plastik Kita. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Berjam rasa mencari
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.